You're listening to The Takeaway.
I'm Farai Chidea, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is playing tough.
Now, some see the rise of other nations and our economic troubles here at home as signs that American power has waned. Others simply don't trust us to lead. They view America as an unaccountable power, too quick to impose its will at the expense of their interests and our principles. But they are wrong. The question is not whether our nation can or should lead, but how it will lead in the 21st century.
Now, one Washington Post columnist called her speech at the Council on Foreign Relations the "I'm back" tour. A broken elbow seemed to ground Secretary Clinton's travel, but the president just got back from Europe, the Soviet Union, Ghana. Does this speech put Secretary Clinton back in the thick of things, or did she never leave the fray? Mark Landler is the New York Times diplomatic correspondent. And Mark, what stood out for you in this speech?
There's two levels to read the speech. One is what it says about the Obama administration's view of foreign policy and how it's staking out a different view of foreign policy than the Bush administration. The other way to read it is what it says about Hillary Clinton's role within the administration and the bureaucratic fighting that goes on inside any administration. On that level, it's clear the speech was an effort for her to inject herself back into the process in a big way. And there's no question that over the past few weeks, she's not only had lower visibility, but I think she's probably discovered the problem that happens when there's a perception that grows around you that you are maybe not exerting as much influence as people expected. People around her deny that's true and say that behind the scenes, she was a strong and remains a strongly influential player. But clearly a perception was starting to take hold in Washington that the State Department was losing influence to the White House. And I think the speech was also a way for her to address her own role.
Speaking of her role, she continued to talk about the U.S. role in the world.
For just as no nation can meet these challenges alone, no challenge can be met without America.
There has been some pushback from the international community as to whether or not America is, as one person I know put it, the referee or just in the game. What does this speech say about the perception of the United States?
Well, I think it says that the Obama administration is trying in a way to put its own definition on the idea of multilateralism. As your previous guest pointed out, a lot of administrations like to talk about acting unilaterally, working with allies. I think one of the things the speech tried to do was say, we have to really view this in a new way. We're not just talking about working with other allies. We're talking about working with non-state actors, whether it's NGOs, big corporations, other big players, and we also have to work with people who we don't agree with and who don't like us or support us, hence the long discussion about why it makes sense to continue to engage Iran, even as she criticized the Iranian regime for its actions after the election in Tehran. So I think there's this attempt to say we are updating the notion of multilateralism for the 21st century, for a world that's far more complex with far more different actors that will demand us to put together coalitions that are more complicated and different than the types that you do in traditional diplomacy. And I think what a lot of people who listen to the speech and who think about this a lot said was, well, okay, that's fine, but now you've got to show this really works, and you have to really flesh it out in concrete examples. And the speech only began to do that. She didn't really take that notion too far.
Well, I guess a critic could point out, Mark Landler, and, you know, if you're a diplomatic correspondent, you have one view of this, but, you know, if you're running an NGO in sub-Saharan Africa, you might have another view of this, that it's one thing to kind of recognize a new reality of the 21st century, and she made all sorts of references to we have to work with other countries and multilateralism is a new reality. But then there's the question of what is the U.S. going to do with its power? And we talked at the top of the hour that preemptive unilateralism, as far as hard power is concerned, is probably off the table. But what's on the table? Do you see anything?
Well, she talked a lot about this idea of leading by example, and this is something I know she regards as very important. I think the idea is if the United States wants to lead on issues like climate change or energy security, there has to be an acknowledgement that we will also play by global rules. And one of the points she made was that when she went to Mexico a few months ago, she declared very openly, the United States is part of the problem with narco trafficking. Our appetite for drugs, fuels your narcotics industry. Similarly, with climate change, she said, the United States has to not only embrace the reality of climate change, but be willing to take the steps necessary to reduce emissions. Of course, the problem is, with most of these issues, particularly ones like climate change, a lot of countries may agree with us on the problem, but they disagree or don't agree with us on the remedy. And it's much easier to talk about assembling a global coalition on climate change than to actually do one. So I think that, again, the challenge is making it happen, and that's not going to be easy in many, many of these issues.
Well, thanks so much. We've been speaking with Mark Landler, the New York Times diplomatic correspondent.
And we're continuing our discussion of what does this speech by Hillary Clinton delivered yesterday at the Council on Foreign Relations mean for foreign policy under the Obama administration. I want to remind you, we're also covering the latest hearings for Sonia Sotomayor. Day four begins today. And it's a chance to look at the Supreme Court and the NAACP. Professor Lonnie Guinier is going to be here later on in the program to talk about health care, the Obama administration, and 100 years of the NAACP. But Hillary Clinton focused on Iran in her speech yesterday. In many ways, that was the headline.
We know very well what we inherited with Iran, because we deal with that inheritance every day. We know that refusing to deal with the Islamic Republic has not succeeded in altering the Iranian march toward a nuclear weapon, reducing Iranian support for terror, or improving Iran's treatment of its own citizens.
Afshin Malavi, you spoke at the top of the hour generally about the Secretary of State's speech, and you're the author of The Soul of Iran. You're a fellow at the New America Foundation, speaking with us from D.C. When she says, we inherited a situation with Iran, does that give you confidence that this is going to be an aggressive policy, or that we're really continuing what the Bush administration has done with Iran by saying, you know, our patience is running out here?
You know, I think clearly the Obama administration did want to take a different strategy towards Iran. And this idea of engagement with Iran, this idea of engagement with one's adversaries, is, in my view, not just a foreign policy position for President Obama. It's actually a domestic, it's become a political decision as well. And what I mean by that is President Obama took a lot of heat as candidate Obama when he talked about this. He took heat, frankly, from candidate Clinton as well on this issue of engagement with Iran. He took heat from candidate McCain as well. And now it's almost this election result in Iran has put them in a bind. They wanted, clearly, a victory by Mousavi, the reform candidate. They would have lived with a clean Ahmadinejad victory. But this kind of Ahmadinejad victory amid allegations of massive vote rigging and blood on the streets of Tehran massively complicates an engagement process that was begun several months ago. And this Iran has yet to reciprocate. The Obama administration has been reaching out to Iran for several months, and Iran has yet to show an inclination that they're willing to reach back to
the
United States.
Well, certainly Clinton yesterday didn't suggest that any sense of a quid pro quo or any of those offers were off the table at this point. Listen.
Iran can become a constructive actor in the region if it stops threatening its neighbors and supporting terrorism. It can assume a responsible position in the international community if it fulfills its obligations on human rights. The choice is clear. We remain ready to engage with Iran, but the time for action is now. The opportunity will not remain open indefinitely.
Now, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, Afshin Malavi, but it seems to me that is offering engagement on the one hand, suggesting that there is not going to be engagement without some sort of precondition on the nuclear issue, which Iran has explicitly refused, and it sort of vaguely says that maybe this offer is going to close. That seems to me a continuation of the Bush policy. Afshin?
Sorry, John, I lost connection for a moment. Can you just repeat the last part of the question?
What do you hear when the Secretary of State says, we almost have to go, the opportunity will not remain open indefinitely? Is that new policy? And quickly,
you
know,
I think
seconds.
That's the general impatience. That, I mean, the Obama administration, as I said, put this policy out long before these elections. They have been increasingly frustrated by the fact that Iran has yet to reach back. And therefore, I think they're channeling some of that frustration,
right.
Some of which comes from these elections. And the
frustration.
Last point, so
we don't have time for the last one, but frustration, but nothing really new here. Afshin Mallavi, author of The Soul of Iran and a fellow at the New America Foundation. Thank you so much.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.